Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I said in my short children's address this morning, I want to take a closer look at the text from the Gospel of Luke that we have before us. It is a retelling of Jesus teaching his disciples and a huge crowd about the kingdom of God and what is important or significant in that kingdom. Before I do so, let's just turn our minds back to the opening of the first reading that we had this morning from the prophet Jeremiah and the opening of the first psalm, the very first psalm in the 150 psalms that are included in the Psalter. The purpose of Holy Scripture is to give us a way to walk with God, to teach us how to walk with God. And both of those readings talk about those who are blessed are those who walk with the ungodly, with the godly, I should say, not with the ungodly. These are teachings about how one leads a godly and holy life. The opening of the very first psalm in the book of Psalms speaks exactly about what is a blessed life, a godly life. And Jesus, in his teaching today, as difficult and as jarring as it sometimes is, also teaches us how to live a godly life. As I was saying this morning earlier, if we listen very closely to the text, we have Jesus speaking to what must have been a massive crowd of people. He writes that there is a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people. They've come from this whole region of Judea and from these two, from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. This is a lot of coast, a lot of cities, a lot of area. This is a massive crowd. And this whole crowd has gathered to see Jesus, to touch Jesus. We hear of people coming to him and power coming out of him when they touch him. And I just want you to imagine for a second what that whole scene would have looked like. It would be absolutely extraordinary. Those of you who are as old as I am might remember scenes from the 1980s when Australia or any other team used to tour the West Indies in the cricket. And the West Indies was always sort of typified by a fairly sort of lax sense of security at the various grounds in which the Australians would play. And there were several instances where right before the last ball was bowled at significant test matches, the whole crowd would jump out of the stands and mob the players on the pitch. There's wonderful video of these sort of two hapless Australian batsmen surrounded by 80,000 West Indians trying to prevent the last couple of balls being bowled. It's that kind of scene, right? It's chaotic. This is not sort of gentle and nice and orderly. It is a chaotic scene. And what is it that the crowd is coming for? They're coming for healing. We know that power comes out of Jesus to heal people. It heals people of their infirmities, and it heals people of the spirits that afflict them. Sometimes in our life, we are all afflicted by kinds of spirits that afflict us. This is Jesus healing people of those. They also come to hear him teach. And we hear today one of the most famous pieces of Scripture. These are the so-called Beatitudes, the Latin word for blessing. Blessed are the, blessed are the, blessed are the, is this way of Jesus' teaching. And what does Jesus say to us this morning? Well, it runs counter to, you know, collective wisdom. Our community would say that blessed are the rich, the full, the laughing, and the popular. Certainly Instagram would say that all of those things are true. Yet Jesus teaches the opposite this morning. He says, blessed are the poor, the hungry, those who weep, and the unpopular, those for whom bad things are said about in his name. And conventional wisdom would have it that there is no blessing in being poor. There's no blessing in being hungry. There's no blessing in mourning or crying or weeping, as the text says, or having people revile you. Well, all the way through the Gospels, Jesus, I think, is quite good at turning, conventional wisdom, communal wisdom, on its head. And particularly when he is teaching that communal standards, the ways of the world, are those which give preference to the mighty, the strong, the wealthy, at the expense of everyone else. He's teaching this morning to us, particularly around wealth, makes us rightly uncomfortable. You and I live in a first world nation, one of the wealthiest on earth, and we are here in one of Australia's wealthiest suburbs. Some of us are wealthy indeed, others are not. But in comparison to the world, we're doing very well. So how can Jesus say, "Woe to you who are rich"? We're good people, aren't we? We're good Christians. Why is this word of woe being given to those who are wealthy? And equally, we have supermarkets and markets that are stuffed to the brim, and it is rare that we go without. Certainly it is rare for me to go without making a deliberate choice. So Jesus says, "Woe to you who are full." It doesn't sound like very good advice to me. I remember in the pandemic when there were those supply chain problems, and Channel 7 and Channel 9 really got upset about this, and they showed all those photos of the empty shelves in the supermarkets. Remember? Well, I travelled in Papua New Guinea once during a famine, and the supermarkets were literally empty. You could walk down every single aisle and there was nothing. Not just out of toilet paper, not just out of pasta and rice, but out of literally everything. You and I, in this last year at the very least, have never experienced that kind of need or want. We have plenty, and Jesus is taking aim here. We also live in a world which means if we want it, we can live a life full of enjoyment and never a dull moment. So that advice from Jesus, "Woe to you who are laughing now," well, that doesn't sound very fair. And we live in a world which is almost obsessed with fame and celebrity of every kind, to be on TV, to make it onto, Married at First Sight, or even renovate your kitchen in front of 1 million of your closest Australian friends on TV. This is sort of a thing to aspire to. Well, Jesus again is teaching the opposite to this. Popularity, etc., is not to be admired. I think this is a very difficult thing for us to hear, that Jesus is teaching. It runs really counter to the world in which we live in. We are bombarded, every day. We are saturated in a culture which speaks about the power, the allure of wealth, the allure of having everything that we want, the allure of enjoying ourselves at any given opportunity. And it is into this world, the same world that Jesus and his disciples lived in, it just happens to be a bit earlier than ours, that Jesus' teaching comes. Why? To, as I said at the beginning of my sermon, to teach us how to live a godly life. One of the things that Jesus teaches us is, it is fine if one is wealthy, it is fine if one has great means, but those means and that wealth must not come between us and our relationship with God. They must not skew us from living a life that is insensitive to those in need. In my own life and my own ministry, working in a variety of different parishes, I worked in a very poor area of Wangaratta for some time. I worked on the south side of Chicago amongst a very disadvantaged community there. And there was great poverty. I had two young boys who were servers on Sunday mornings, and they were there faithful every Sunday morning. And after my first month in the parish, I said to them, I'd never met their parents before. And I said, where are your parents? And they said, they're both in jail. Now, not through any great crimes or misdemeanors, but through the vicissitudes of poverty and the need to provide for a family had caused both of these young boys, their parents, to be imprisoned. Yet they were there faithfully. And in those congregations, and indeed in ours, I have seen great faith amongst those who have little. As a hospital chaplain, for 2 years I worked as a hospital chaplain in a cancer hospital, and I saw people reduced to moments of great need as a result of illness. And you would know of people in the same situation. And I saw great faith from such people in God because everything else has been stripped away. Everything else has been taken away, and their relationship with God is not impeded by all the things that we and I include in my life to make me busy and happy and enjoyable, etc., etc. Jesus this morning teaches us about what is a blessed life. Not blessed by community standards, but blessed by God. And that blessing comes at a cost. It comes at the cost of running counter, I think, to the standards of the world. So one of the teachings that we must take on board, I think, from the Beatitudes, not just from Luke, but also the other recordings of the Beatitudes in the Gospels, I should say, is this sense of making sure that the so-called blessings of conventional life, of communal life, let's say popularity, they're not getting in the way of our relationship with God. And God's call to us to love God, love our neighbour, and love ourselves. That we are always on track. We are walking with Jesus. We are wanting to be in that crowd, wanting to see him, wanting to hear him, wanting to be healed by him, rather than being sort of led astray, for want of a better expression, with the standards of the commercial world that surrounds us. Many of us, in the allocation of the wealth that we have, do great good in our community. And it doesn't just help those who we give it to, like this church, but it also helps us live a godly life as well. So just finally, just a few little points. Jesus knows, and we should know, in his teaching about those who are full, he's talking about, you know, hunger and eating. He knows that real blessing lies in being nurtured by the food that we eat. He knows curse comes from overeating. He knows curse comes from undereating. He knows curse comes from obsessing about food. But he knows blessing is given to those who are simply nurtured by food and go on with their life. He also knows and tells us that blessing lies in being truly happy in our soul. When we are happy in our soul, regardless of our circumstances. I've met many who have nothing and are the happiest and most blessed people, most content people in the world. He also knows that blessing, God's blessing, comes to those who are loved for who we are. For who we are, not just what we have, but who we are deep inside, and not all of the things and all the accoutrements and all the other things that we can have in our life. One final note. In this gospel reading, there is a little line that usually goes unnoticed. It says, Jesus looks up to his disciples and says the following. He looks up to his disciples. That is because in Jesus' time, in the synagogue, and amongst people of authority, teachers, they would sit to teach. Just imagine what that would look like, that huge crowd that I was telling you about. And Jesus, we don't know how big or small Jesus was, but let's imagine he's, I don't know, 5'8". He sits. Like I was down here, he sits in front of this huge crowd. Imagine that, all those people pressing in on him. He's not elevated, he doesn't have a microphone, but he sits and he takes a humble position of teaching And when he sat down, people began to listen. May we listen to his words this morning. May we be blessed by his message to us this morning. And may we be blessed by the very many good things that God gives us in this life.